Well, Ann Romney was speaking before the RNC last night, asked for a moment of awareness for storm victims. And then New Jersey Governor Chris Christie blew into the Tampa Bay Times Forum, blunt and rousing in his keynote speech, hammering, but not as hard as he could have, on the big themes the GOP wants to hit to win over centrist voters.
I know this simple truth, and I am not afraid to say it. Our ideas are right for America, and their ideas have failed America.
Incredibly dynamic. His discussion about bipartisanship resonates with people. They're sick and tired of seeing Washington so dysfunctional. We need a leader that's really going to unite and bring people together.
Reaction to Governor Christie, but the big draw, of course, Ann Romney, Mitt's wife of 42 years. She wore a belted red shirt dress. She said she picked it in part because Mitt voted for it. She told voters that she and Mitt Romney have a real, not a storybook marriage. And she constantly appealed to women who, she said, you know, when times get tough, they always have it tougher.
I love you women!
She really is a role model to me, and I just feel that she represents women so well and would be an amazing first lady. The most exciting moment for me was at the very end when they played My Girl, and then Mitt Romney came out and surprised the audience, and the audience was going wild, and it was pretty exciting.
Lots of excitement in the hall, but Mitt Romney has been polling well behind President Obama among women voters. So did the needle move last night? Joining us here on Radio Row, Chris Ingram, Republican analyst and columnist for the Tampa Tribune. Chris, nice to meet you.
Nice to be here.
And Karen Tumulty, who covers politics for the Washington Post. Karen, welcome back, as always.
Great to be here.
So it was sort of an Oprah moment there. She sounded just like Oprah, didn't she? I love women. But Chris, what do you think? Did she move that needle?
I think she probably did. I spoke to some women after the convention last night, and they all seem to be impressed with her performance. I spoke to some outside of the convention as well who are not here as Republicans, more kind of moderate, independent women, and they said that the message that she shared, which was probably poll tested, we were talking earlier before we got on, by maybe Frank Luntz or Frank will be poll testing the line, a marriage that's real, not a marriage that's a storybook marriage. And
right.
I think that that is something that average married women can relate to.
Well, and Karen Tumulty, independent voters have to hear, one would think, because there is a perception of the Romneys as having this picture-perfect marriage. That's what she was trying to say. No, we've had heartache. And so do you think that she got that across, that they were just like you?
Well, there was nothing really new revealed about them in this speech. But basically, this whole convention has two goals. One is to make Mitt Romney more appealing to a lot of voters. He is coming into this convention with the lowest approval rating of any presidential nominee in modern history, at least according as far back as we have polls. The other is to sharpen the case that Barack Obama does not deserve a second term. And so in that sense, I think what we saw last night, if you don't mind my using the cliche, was the, you know, Ann Romney is the velvet glove and Chris Christie is the iron fist.
Well, it's funny, though, because Chris Christie, Governor Christie, also started out talking about women. It's almost as if, you know, the marching orders were being carried out. He started talking about his mother, Jill Biden, of course, a partisan. She tweeted during Chris Christie's speech, which, again, started largely about his mother. She tweeted, "Well, that does it. I am voting for Chris Christie's mother." So the women thing aside, as you're saying, do you think, I mean, Slate is writing, and some would say that leans left, but what do you remember about Mitt Romney that you didn't know before last night? Chris, take that.
Yeah, really not much. I think that Karen hit the nail right on the head as it relates to that, that there wasn't a whole lot introduced. But this, the people who follow politics don't already know about. But this is really the opportunity to kind of showcase Romney and the Republican Party on a more national, grand scale to people who aren't so actively involved in following politics. So that it is kind of a reintroduction of the Romneys and Mitt Romney to the average American voter.
What did they hear about Mitt Romney?
Well,
in fact, Chris Christie, I think, spoke for 20 minutes before he talked about Mitt Romney.
Yeah, and he's been criticized for that, I think, pretty heavily so far in the last few days, or since his today and yesterday. But, you know, the message last night was women. The message tonight, I think, is going to be more about the budget and the spending and the deficit. And then tomorrow, it's really going to be all about Mitt and him being the best candidate to take on Barack Obama.
And I think that's an unfair criticism of Chris Christie's speech. He was out there as I said, to make the case about Barack Obama. And he is also someone who is known, he's a YouTube sensation because of his kind of forthright manner. So the point that he was making, where he said the Obama administration has not been straight with the American people, they want the American people to join them in living a lie. That was the line of all of that really struck with me the most.
Well, you know what else I was hearing from Chris Christie is there was a big push of the difference between love and respect. And it was kind of an odd thing for someone to say about a party's candidate. So you may not love him, but we want to be respected.
You know, it was interesting because yesterday in interviews, there were two figures in the party influential, Rob Portman, the senator from Ohio, and Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, who we talked to at the Washington Post. And they both used the same language. They said, what we need to do is make Mitt Romney acceptable. Now, that's a pretty low bar, but it does suggest that they are very well aware of his problems right now with kind of the American people not quite warming up to him.
And Karen's right, and it's a huge problem because elections, whether voters subconsciously or consciously are aware of it, if it's the subconscious, it's that they're going in there and voting for the candidate that they like the best. It's not about policy. It's not about whether they have the better resume. I mean, you go back for the last 30 or 40 years, the candidate who's more likable has won every single election. That's a subjective observation, but I think objectively you can look at it.
Well, this is funny that you would be saying this, Chris Ingram, again, a Republican analyst and columnist for the Tampa Tribune, because let me just ask you in the few seconds we have before the break, do they have any other choice? John Boehner tells the story of a woman came up to him and said, make me love Mitt Romney, and he sort of said, I can't.
It's our big challenge, and it's going to be really hard to do with just a few months left, but that's what we've got. You know, you get lemons, make lemonade, right?
And quick thought, Karen?
Well, I do. Again, this is a chance to sort of hit the reset button for the party, and this is what they're using.
But what
it
a
for.
Reset if you are speaking to a brand new audience, tuning in for the first time and saying, hey, you might not love our candidate. Kind of interesting. We're going to pick it up on the other side of the break. That's Karen Tumulty, who covers politics for the Washington Post. And we got a hometown guy here, Chris Ingram, Republican analyst and columnist for the Tampa Tribune. We've been taking a look back at last night's speeches. We want to hear from you, as always, at hereandnow.org, facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Tweet us at Here and Now or at Here and Now Robin. And after the break, we'll also look ahead to tonight, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Tampa and our convention coverage. We're talking to Chris Ingram, a Republican analyst and columnist for the Tampa Bay Times, and Karen Tumulty, who covers politics for the Washington Post. We want to look ahead at what Chris in particular thinks the party has to say tonight. But Karen, just one more look back at least Ann Romney last night. You have a story you want to share.
Yeah, I was struck watching her last night of a story that the late Elizabeth Edwards, John Edwards' wife, told me 4 years ago. She was recalling the time when her cancer was diagnosed as returning during the campaign, and that a lot of people really questioned their decision to continue their presidential campaign. And she told me that one of the very first phone calls that she got was from Ann Romney, who said, I know you're getting criticized for this, but I get it, and I want you to know. So as Ann Romney was talking about her own illnesses, it reminded me that, you know, this is not a woman who has just, you know, she has this image of staying home, baking her Welsh cookies and raising her sons, but she is a partner in this campaign, and she believes in it.
Well, some, you know, a fierce belief, and she's been through this before in his runs for the Senate and in his first presidential run, and so obviously there's some belief there. But hold the presses here, because I have a news headline that I have to deliver. We're speaking with Chris Ingram, Republican analyst and columnist, not for the Tampa Bay Times, but for the Tribune, Tampa Tribune. And Chris, I do want to ask you just about Chris Christie. You know, again, he was the one who was supposed to, you know, kind of be the hammer as opposed to the velvet glove. He famously took on teachers unions in his home state of New Jersey. Last night, he contrasted Republican ideas with those of the Democrats. Did he do enough, though, to distinguish his candidate?
Well, I think that that's always a challenge, and when you have a limited amount of time to make the case on all these different important programs and the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats, that is a challenge for the speaker. But I think that he did a good job given those parameters, and he is so widely recognized as being someone who really delivers, to steal a line from John McCain, straight talk. He's been heavily criticized for that and his kind of rough and sometimes abrasive style, but he's showing the real leadership that I think Americans are yearning for. And his willingness to take on issues that are difficult and that are not always popular, that shows real leadership. And that's really what I think this election is all about. It's about leadership, and it's about giving the American people what they need as opposed to just what they want.
Well, you know, this was what went out over prime time, but I just want to ask you briefly about what happened before that, the several speeches that came before. We heard speakers hammer home that the party platform has a ban on abortion. We heard a speaker say that Barack Obama is cutting from welfare. David, they came back to the analysis on CNN, and David Gergen says that is not true. You know, we heard the red meat, perhaps, before. Karen, what do you think? How does the party kind of thread that needle?
Well, first of all, you will note that that was on prime time. I mean, this was all about kind of stirring up the base, and, you know, also the delegates were all waving signs saying, "We built that," you know, which is a the Democrats would say is taking a line out of a Barack Obama speech out of context. But this is, you know, they've got to stir up the base in addition to reaching out to centrist voters.
Well, let's look at tonight then. Paul Ryan, he has really energized the base. Chris, how is this playing among independents or undecideds? I mean, what does he have to say to appeal to them as well?
I think that the challenge for Ryan is his record as being a very hawkish on the issue of the budget and the spending, that he needs to demonstrate that he's not someone just going to go and tear apart all these government programs, but he's going to look forward to making long-term solutions by taking small, short steps forward. And that's something that I think that the American people are starting to recognize is necessary, that needs to be done, that we can't continue spending the way that we are and putting all this debt on our children and our grandchildren, who are going to have a lower standard of living, lower quality of life, higher taxes and so forth, if we don't address this very difficult budget issue.
And, you know, Karen, I'm going to be maybe even asking you this question next week, but critics of the Democrats say that they have not countered that. They have not explained how spending in the short term helps in the long term. Again, it's the Republicans' night to hammer home their analysis of the economy and of the problems with jobs. It's almost like do they really have to do more? It seems like they've captured that debate.
I do. I think they do. I think the problem is not even so much the spending in the short term. The real problem is I think people would understand the spending in the short term better if they really felt that the Democrats had a plan in the long term to, you know, essentially rein in the deficits and fix entitlements. And, you know, a lot of people think Barack Obama missed a great big opportunity with the Simpson-Bowles Commission, that he never really made it clear if he embraces their recommendations or which of their recommendations he embraces.
What else would you like to hear, Chris?
I'm nodding my head in agreement with Karen. I would add one thing to what she said, and that is, if they felt the short-term spending was worthwhile, if they actually saw some benefit. But the economy really hasn't improved after all of the spending that we've put out added to more debt.
You'd hear from the Democrats that it has improved. It would have been disaster had they not done what they'd done. And you'd hear from some on the left who'd say, we wanted them to spend more. Would have had a bigger response. But we'll take a look tonight at what happens. And then, of course, Mitt Romney makes his speech the following night. We've been speaking with Chris Ingram, Republican analyst and columnist for the Tampa Bay Times. Karen Tump, for Tribune. The Tampa Tribune.
Sorry. We have two papers here.
And,
we're
they're,
lucky,
and they're two great papers. And Karen Tumulty, who covers politics for the, I believe, the Washington Post.
Yes.
I got that one right. Thank you both. We'll check back in with you. Thank you. And you out there, we'd love to hear from you. How do you think Ann Romney did last night? How do you think Governor Christie did? And, you know, it's interesting. We're also hearing more about Ron Paul here than we are about any of the ticket that's out there. So, Ron Paul supporters, what are you thinking about what some of the delegates from Maine did yesterday, walking out because of the rules changes? A lot of anger there on the part of Ron Paul's backers. Let us know what you think at hereandnow.org. We'll have the latest news next, Here and Now.